Newsflash. Sunday morning, Jerusalem Gazette. April 30 AD, reads the morning paper. Several women, followers of Jesus of Nazareth, recently crucified for high treason and blasphemy, have reported seeing Jesus early this morning. Newsflash, Jerusalem Gazette, April 30 AD. Some think the great early morning earthquake may have caused the stone sealing the tomb to be rolled away. Others are claiming angelic beings may have been involved. Newsflash, Jerusalem Gazette, April 30 AD. Some believe his disciples may have stolen the body of Jesus of Nazareth and reburied it in an unmarked gravesite. Many liberal-minded skeptics continue to believe that Jesus faked his own death, therefore relying on the coolness of the tomb to have revived him, allowing Jesus of Nazareth to escape. Thus the supposed sightings by the uncredible women. Newsflash, Jerusalem Gazette, 30 AD, April. An agnostic reported that the grief-stricken women, they simply went to the wrong tomb since it was but the dawning of a new day, a case of mistaken identity. A New Ager was interviewed. This New Ager contends that Jesus has a twin brother, and just by happen chance, the twin brother had entered the city of Jerusalem on the third day following the other twin's death. Another case of mistaken identity. Recent news flash, just this came in off the wires. A few have gone so far as to suppose that the Sanhedrin have stolen the body. Thus they wait to expose the corpse once Peter begins to preach the gospel. They will conveniently wheel out the dead, rotting body of their supposed Savior and silence the church. Some have also reported that Pontius Pilate wants an inquest and he wants those soldiers killed who failed to do their assigned duties as directed. Newsflash, this just came in off of the internet there in Jerusalem, April 30 AD. One rumor has it, and this person wants to remain nameless, that Pontius Pilate and the high priest behind a closed door session, money apparently is being exchanged, and one of the servants of the high priest is going around saying that money has changed hands to keep certain people silent and to say certain things. My beloved, rumors abound, and the local citizens have not a clue what ends all this commotion may even lead to. Reporters are on the scene with more news flashes to follow. As you can tell, your pastor didn't get too high marks from being a journalist in high school. But what if there was a newspaper that morning? You know, some of the things that I read in my little article to you just a few moments ago are some of the most popular teachings dealing with the resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus faked his death. Jesus had a twin. The women went to the wrong tomb. That even the religious leaders stole the body and were waiting to bust it out and to destroy the credibility of the preachers. Those were some of the teachings, my dear friend, coming from some pulpits in some schools of interpretation. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1. As you know, on the calendar, this is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, and therefore this congregation is going to celebrate the resurrection. And we're going to celebrate that resurrection not only by way in prayer, by way of song, by way of hymns, but by the teaching and preaching of God's Word surrounding the resurrection. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verses 1, allow me to read the first 11 verses in your hearing, and then we'll turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. the former treatise, which is the Gospel of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now look at verse 3. To whom also he, the risen Christ, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And the Authorized Version is the only English translation that has the word infallible translated from the Greek into the English. Check the other translations. Many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, as you notice, Jesus had church with his church, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that would be fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost. When they therefore were come together, churching, like we are right now, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's Acts 2, 1, Pentecost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both, the word both in Greek means at the same time, in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And then turn to Romans chapter 1. Notice how the Apostle Paul begins this letter unto the Roman church. And please bear in mind, this letter to the Roman church was not written to a Roman Catholic church with a pope sitting in a chair. This was a church very similar to you all. A gospel-believing, Bible-believing church with elders and deacons. The concept of a pope would not even be known until the 5th century. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Notice verses 2 tells you something about the gospel that Paul was separated unto in verse 1. The gospel was something that God promised the Old Testament folks under the Old Testament dispensation through the preaching and the writings of the Old Testament prophets. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Notice the rich theology in verses 3. The gospel concerns the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He's our Lord. What about Jesus? He was a Jew, and he was made from the seed of David. Jesus, by flesh, was a direct descendant of King David. And notice, according to the flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity, had to become human. He had to become a man. But notice verse 4, declared, proclaimed to be the Son of God with power. How? How did Jesus proclaim? How did Jesus demonstrate that he was the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by or through the resurrection from the dead? Today, and for that matter, every Lord's Day is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The bodily resurrection of Christ, to quote another person, says this, has always been categorically the central tenet of the Church of the Living God. Did you hear that, my friend? The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the central tenet of the Church of the Living God. Furthermore, another commentator has actually wrote this, quote, faith in the resurrection is the very keystone of the arch of the Christian faith. And when it is removed, if you remove the resurrection out of Christianity, or if you can prove that the body of Jesus is still lying in a tomb, all must inevitably crumble into emptiness. If you can go to Jerusalem and you can find that tomb and you can find that those bones, maybe turned to dust by now, if you can find it, give me a bone box with the inscription Jesus of Nazareth, Son of Mary, Son of Joseph. If you can find that and verify that, beloved, everything that we stand for crumbles. Your faith is vain. My preaching is empty. We have found liars under the face of God, my dear friend, and we are men most miserable, according to the Apostle Paul in our reading earlier this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are men most miserable. We have been duped. We have been hoodwinked. We have been deceived. If. That's the importance of the resurrection. Additionally, another commentator has read this. The firm confidence of the disciples in Jesus was rooted in the belief that he did not abide in death, but was risen or raised by God the Father. In our text here this morning, brothers Luke and Paul declares that the risen Lord, quote, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And did you listen to the words of our dear brother Luke? Seen of them. The risen Christ was literally seen. He was literally touched and handled by those who witnessed him after his resurrection. So, beloved, what are some of those infallible proofs that Brother Luke states in his opening chapter in the book of Acts? And as I mentioned, gearing up to this particular message here during this past week, I would like to briefly, with the time that is now given to me, to expose to you five post-resurrection appearances, all done on one day by the risen Christ. Ready? The first one, for those of you taking notes, the first appearance that is recorded by the gospel writers, the first appearance of the risen Christ to anyone was actually given to Mary Magdalene. Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Look at verses 9 to 11. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 11. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first. And that's the key. The very first person to see the risen Christ was a woman. Appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out seven demons or seven devils. And she went and told them, that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Notice the very first person whom Jesus appears to. It wasn't to Peter. It wasn't to John. He didn't even go out of his way to go see Thomas. The very first individual who made physical eye contact with the risen Christ was a woman. Maybe you're sitting here saying, well, so what? Listen to this. Notice how God chooses to do things. His son's humble birth was first announced to humble, lowly shepherds. When Jesus comes to earth as the God-man, the angels did not go to Herod and announce the King of the Jews is born. The angels did not appear to Caesar and announce a king has been born. Beloved, the angels appeared to lowly shepherds who happened to be on the very bottom rung of the social status of the first century of those living at that time. Did you know that? But here's the kicker, ladies. His glorious son's resurrection was witnessed by a woman whose testimony in the first century in the eyes of a Jew was inadmissible in a court of law. Did you know that? In the first century, in Jewish culture, women could not testify because it was automatically assumed that their testimony and their witness is inadmissible because they were not credible. That's how your God does things. He does things by turning the world on its head. He appeared to shepherds, not to the governor, not to the Caesar, not to King Herod. He went to lowly shepherds. And when Jesus makes his first post-resurrection appearance, he goes out of his way to confront a woman. And she is the one who goes back to the disciples, the 11 apostles who were in seclusion and most fearful and most frightful. And she tells them, I've seen Christ. And what was their reaction to her? They didn't believe her because a woman's words did not carry weight in a Jewish mind in the first century. You know what the second appearance was? To the other women. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. This is the second of the five great post-resurrection appearances. First to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out seven devils, seven demons. And then Jesus goes out of his way even further to appear to other women. Matthew chapter 28, look at verses 9 to 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and fell by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And when you read the context, you will find out that it was Mary Magdalene and other women had gone to the tomb that early morning to anoint the body of Jesus. Once again, God doing things that goes against the conventional way that man would do things. He appears to women first. These women, upon meeting the risen Lord, held him by his feet and they worshipped him. They in turn were told to report his resurrection to others. So ladies, listen to me, all you ladies here this morning, don't you ever have a gospel minister or anyone tell you that your contribution to the kingdom of God is minimum or minuscule because you are of the female gender. Jesus Christ appeared to women first. He did not appear to the 11 disciples who were men. He appeared to women first, and it was the women who were to announce to the world, the tomb is empty. When in that world, a woman's word carried no weight. So ladies, you do have a mission field, and you do have a purpose to your life when it comes to being a witness for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In some church circles, women are treated as a third-class commodity, and that will never be allowed in this congregation. You ladies have gifts, abilities, and talents. Do not be afraid to exercise them. You can witness for Christ, and you can share your faith, ladies. What was the third appearance? Well, the third appearance was Jesus to the two brethren who walked to the road to Emmaus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. All this occurring on the same day of the resurrection. So Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene first, then he reveals himself to the other women. Later in the evening, on that same day, Jesus appears to two downcast disciples. Look at Luke chapter 24. Allow me to read in your audience verses 31 to 35. These two disciples were walking on the road to a particular town called Emmaus, and Jesus happens to kind of come alongside these two downcast brethren. They have no idea that it is Jesus. They just feel that he's just another local citizen. And Jesus begins to ask them, why are you so downcast? Why is your chin dragging on the road? Sir, are you a stranger? Have you not been aware what's going on for these past 3 days? The crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. We thought he was a prophet. We thought that he was the Messiah. All of our hopes seemed to be dashed. And there's some in our party. There's been some women going around saying they've seen him. And so Jesus begins to walk along with them. And then they come to the city, a small village. And there's a little restaurant, an inn, where people could bed down and get a meal. They go in. They even beg Jesus to come in. They sit down and they're having a meal. And in the context of all of that, watch what happens in verse 31. I'll go back to verse 29. And they constrained him. These two disciples, they just begged the stranger, come and eat with us. Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he, the risen Christ, and at this time they have no idea who he is, took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. See, the glorified body of Jesus now has some very unusual properties. The body of Jesus Christ was a glorified, risen body, the same type of body that you're going to have, my dear friend, on that grand and glorious day of your own resurrection. Jesus was able to walk through a wall. And here he was able to be in their presence. Come on now. And as soon as he broke bread, it is quite evident that something else was quite visible on that wrist. The open wound. And Jesus was revealed to them. And then he vanished. It doesn't mean that he just simply dropped what he was doing and ran out the back door. He vanished. Right in front of their presence. But notice what they say. And they said one to another in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And beloved, I believe that happens, my dear friends, when gospel preaching is done and when God the Holy Spirit chooses to bless the preaching of his word and when God the Holy Spirit begins to open the eyes and the ears of blinded and deafened sinners and they begin to connect the dots. It's as if the word of God just burns in their hearts. Can you testify to that? They could. It just burned within their bosom. Then they arose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem. They backtracked and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. That's Peter. Wow. Beloved, their physical encounter with the risen Savior forever transformed these two disciples. And may I ask each and every one of us a very probing question? I want to get a little bit personal with you this morning. Maybe personal to the point where you and I get somewhat uncomfortable with my words. And here's my question. Has the same truth revolutionized you and me? These men had a living encounter with the risen Christ. And beloved, their bosom, their soul, their heart, their mind, their affection, and their will burned within them. And when Jesus vanished, notice, they didn't just sit there and say, well, let's just finish our meal and we'll kind of meditate and think about the experience. No, my dear friends, they dropped what they were doing and they hightailed back to Jerusalem and they went out of their way to find the 11 disciples. The Lord, the Christ, He's risen. We've seen Him. We ate with Him. Oh, beloved, it changed them. It revolutionized them. It transformed them. And my question is this to you. Has the gospel changed you? Has Christ had an impact on you? Notice the board. The impact of the empty tomb. Listen to me. Frightened disciples who were hiding for fear. Every time there was a knock on the door, they were thinking, oh my word, Roman guards, Roman citizen, temple guards, they're after us. They're going to kill the rest of us. And if they kill us, the entire movement is gone. Frightened disciples now become bold witnesses for Christ. Frightened followers now become courageous in the very face of death. What would motivate these disciples to go to a cross and have themselves also crucified? What would have the disciples go into a Colosseum and stand there before a hungry lion and just stand there and just sing praises to Jesus? What would cause a person to be tied to a stake with either a fast burn or a slow burn, just simply quoting the Psalms as the flames are engulfing their body as a French fry would be submerged in hot boiling oil? What would do that? They saw something. They saw something, beloved. They handled something. They heard Him. They saw Him. They ate with Him. They touched Him. And beloved, it changed them. Gospel reached the extent of the Roman Empire within the lifetime of the apostles. A transformed enemy of the gospel becomes an apostle. What would change the apostle Paul? Here's Saul of Tarsus. He's going out there hauling Christians to prison. He's forcing them to blaspheme. He's sanctioning their death. And like this, the enemy becomes an apostle and a flaming evangelist. And he writes over one half of your New Testament. What would cause a man to change? A hoax? A mirage? A lie? And beloved, do you realize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the introduction of Christianity into the world revolutionized Western culture? Listen to me. Women were classified as a third-class commodity. Christianity, ladies, puts you where you properly belong. And equal with the male gender. Children were seen as something that can be either tolerated or exterminated. In Roman society, if the father did not pick up that newborn child in front of those who witnessed the birth of that child from his mother's womb, if that Roman father did not pick up that child and hold it up, if he simply left it on the ground, servants came, took the child, and put it out for the wolves and dogs and cats to chew. It was your Christian ancestors, my dear friend, who would go after those children and raise those children. And that was the impetus for orphanages. The Christian church gave us the orphanage, not the atheist. Hospitals. Hospitals to relieve the pain and suffering of those who were sick and dying was something that was birthed in the very womb of the church. Society was changed because of the message of a risen Christ. And beloved, we celebrate the fact of the empty tomb every time we assemble. Did you realize that? This is Easter Sunday on the calendar. Well, my dear friends, for this preacher, Easter never ends. Every Lord's Day, we celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Every Wednesday evening, we celebrate the resurrection because my faith is not empty. My faith is not void. My preaching is not in vain unless I don't do my homework. And when I bury you, and when I take your saved relatives and we put them into the ground, I bury them with the hope of their own resurrection when Jesus will give them their glorified body. The fourth appearance. Look at Luke 24, verses 33 to 35. Sometime that evening, It's quite evident, my dear friends, that Peter was seen. Jesus was seen by the Apostle Peter all by himself prior to Jesus meeting up with these two men on the road to Emmaus. Did you catch that in verse 33 to 35? Look at that. And they arose up the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem, they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared, past tense, to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. So my dear friends, it's quite evident that Jesus, prior to meeting those two downcast disciples walking to the road to Emmaus, he had a close encounter with Simon Peter. And my dear friends, for those of you who like to do your cross-referencing, when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and when Paul begins to list individuals to whom Jesus appeared, to include 500 people at one time, Simon is mentioned by himself, along with Jesus' brother, James. Well, now we need the fifth one. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the other women. He appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And apparently prior to that encounter, he appears to Peter. The fifth and final appearance that was done on the very same day of the resurrection is the appearance of Jesus to the 10 apostles. Judas is dead, and on this one encounter, the apostle Thomas was not present. Turn to John chapter 20. Jesus will appear a week later. And in this second appearance, Thomas would be present. Look at John chapter 20 and allow me to read verses 19 to 25 as we close this Sunday school lesson. Beloved, I hope that Scripture has convinced you that the resurrection is true. I hope. This is the impact of the empty tomb. Frightened disciples, man, overnight they become a bold witness. Frightened followers now, they're able to look death in the face. Matter of fact, in some instances, God's ancient people just welcomed it. And within the first century, my dear friends, those 12 men, to include Paul and Barnabas, they were able to reach the farthest regions of the entire Roman Empire with the gospel, as far west as Spain, as far north as Great Britain, as far east as India, and as far south as North Africa and Egypt, all within their lifetime. And then the gospel was able to transform Saul of Tarsus into the Apostle Paul. And Western culture, our culture, revolutionized by the impetus of the church. And then every Lord's Day and every Wednesday, every time we do the Lord's Supper, we simply proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and he's going to come because he was risen. Look at John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now notice, the door is shut. These 10 disciples, because Judas is dead and Thomas is not present, so there's 10 of them. They're hunkered down in this room with the door shut. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. This is the passage where Jesus just walked through a wall. He didn't even open the door. The door is barred. It's shut. They're afraid. Every time there's a murmur outside, when they hear the footprints or the pitter-patter of people on those streets, the first thought in their mind, Roman authorities, temple guards, hunker down, keep quiet, silence. Jesus just appears in that room. Peace. And when he had said so, he showed unto him his hands and his side. There are some people who teach that Jesus was a mirage. there are certain Christian cults, and I put the word Christian in big quotes, Christian cults who teach, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach that Jesus did not rise bodily from the tomb. And what the apostles here were looking at was a hologram, an image. Really? Well, he shows them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he, Thomas, said unto them, the other 10, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, unless I put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And you know the jury is still out on Thomas. Was that doubting Thomas? Or, I'll throw this out on the table. Or was Thomas being very sound and wise and biblical? He wanted the facts, man. And unless I can see, touch, and handle, I am not going to be convinced by a hologram or by an image. I'll let you decide. Well, sometimes we all the time crucify Thomas, doubting Thomas. Well, maybe Thomas wanted to make sure that he wasn't being deceived. He wanted the real deal in front of him. And then I believe. But down through time, Thomas has been given the term the doubting Thomas. So on this fifth and final appearance on that grand and glorious day, he comes to his tent. Thomas was not present. And Jesus will appear a week later. And Thomas will be in the room. And Jesus will tell Thomas. Now, did Jesus scold him? How dare you make that comment a week ago? What did Jesus do? Come and touch. Here's my side. Take your hand and feel where that sword pierced me. Come on. And then Thomas drops on his knees and says, Oh, my Lord and my God. And Jesus tells Peter, You believe because you see. But blessed are those who do not see, but believe. So, beloved, is the resurrection really important? Yes. It's that keystone to the arch. It is the key tenet of our faith. And if you take away the resurrection, my dear friend, you take away the very heart and the soul of Christianity. My dear friend, if you're here this morning and maybe you're not saved, maybe you've not come to terms with the risen Christ, would you please meditate and think about that? Maybe this might be the grand and glorious day when you would finally submit to the risen Christ and say, Lord, I embrace you for who and what you are. I acknowledge my sin and my guilt, but I look to you as my only Redeemer, the only one that can wash away my sins. I don't need a church. I don't need ritual. I don't need a ceremony. I don't need water. I just need you. Maybe today would be that day that the Lord would graciously save you and you would bow your knee to him as the risen Christ. And ladies, if you're here this morning, please, please hear me carefully. You are not third-class commodities. You are precious women of God if you're here this morning saved. Use your gifts and use your talents. Jesus appeared to women first, and he gave them the grand and glorious privilege of going to a lost world and to an unbelieving, believing world and say, He's risen. And has the gospel and has the life of the risen Christ truly changed and transformed your life, dear Christian? Do men see Christ in us? Or do they unfortunately see ourselves flip-flopping in our sins? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you not only as our Lord and Savior, but we also acknowledge that you rose triumphantly over the grave. We also acknowledge that you are the head of the church. We also acknowledge that you are the only Savior, the only one who forgives our sins. And dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are gracious and kind and loving and obedient enough to condescend to this earth and to become a man in order that you might die, but then rise again from the dead. And because you have risen, we have the calm assurance that each and every one of us will someday rise from our own tombs. We praise you and bless you. We worship you. We adore you. And we simply ask all of this in your blessed name. Amen.